For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's gone. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Portrait pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
From the mind of a two-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Some baseball coming up here in the 5 o'clock hour. Mets getting set for the Red Sox. Yankees getting set for game two of their series against Texas. But it is Cinco time.
Cinco de Fivo with Evan and Tiki on The Fan.
Cinco de Fivo is brought to you by Helix Wireless, connecting everything everywhere, and by Wendy's. Try the new pretzel Baconator today. All right, we got 4 days of Cinco's coming at you, and I'm going to do a little different football theme leading up to the opening of the season every day here on Cinco, all right?
Let's go.
So today, I'm going to give you the top five New York football touchdown scorers this season, my prediction.
Oh, nice.
In orders of 5 through 1. What are you sighing for? We just enjoyed the time?
Here we go.
I just have a feeling I know where it's going.
Here we go!
Number 5.
Ty Conklin. I think he's going to be fed by Aaron a ton in the red zone this year, and he will finish top 5 in New York in touchdowns.
I don't think that's a bad opinion at all.
Okay.
I agree with him.
Stunner, by the way. Okay.
Number 4.
Well, sometimes I expect the worst with you. What do you want me to say?
Nope. This is, he's positive Tommy. I'm even keeled Shawnee.
All right. He's a real football, fair and balanced IFO list. Go
absolutely
ahead.
Number 4 for me is going to be Devin Singletary. I think he's going to dive in plenty in the red zone when they get down there between the tackles.
Mm. What's his nickname? Motor?
Motor Singletary. I think you'll get more explosive plays from Tyrone Tracy, more touchdowns from Devin Singletary.
Hmm.
Okay. All right. A lot of thanks, Deke, for that dynamite drop.
Well, we're digesting what you're saying here, buddy.
How is this
running
back?
Number 3.
Garrett Wilson.
Garrett Wilson is 3.
The big play connection will be obvious. Garrett Wilson will score plenty of touchdowns. He is number 3.
Aaron
I'm
Rodgers.
I'm really interested in number 1.
Yeah, I know. Especially knowing it's not Garrett Wilson. Aaron Rodgers is in love with Garrett Wilson. And one thing about Rodgers, you watch him throughout his NFL career, when he's got a number 1 wide receiver, he feeds him. Feeds him a lot. And when you look at Wilson's stats in the first 2 years of his NFL career, and you think about who was throwing him the ball, and now you have a Hall of Famer doing it, it's kind of sick to think about how majestic his numbers can be.
Absolutely. And
but fine, make him number 3.
I don't think that's a fine. Slight on him making him 3. I expect him to get in the end zone.
It kind of feels like it's a slight, depending on who number 2 and number 1 is.
Number 2.
Breece Hall. The wrongs will be written for his red zone usage this year. And I think that Rodgers' touchdown passing number might be down a little bit because I think Breece is going to feast and go that extra mile in the red zone this year.
It's crazy to think, like last year.
And a passing game, too, by the way.
And Breece was healthy last year, had a really good kind of bounce back year from the injury.
Right, he was on a pitch count for a little bit.
He was on a pitch count. I was a little frustrated early on.
Right.
Do you know how many times Breece Hall got in the end zone last year? Like, do you know? Did you do your research before you did this?
I know it was really down. I remember he scored the screen versus the Giants. I'm going to say 2.
Okay. Just so the record, the Jets didn't score a lot of touchdowns. Yeah, right. So obviously the number is not a lot. Breece Hall led the Jets in touchdowns. He got in there 4 times.
4.
Garrett Wilson, 3 times.
Okay. Sorry. So
the Jets barely scored touchdowns last year.
And I expect them to score more.
It's amazing to think about.
And no, but they weren't last, were they?
In offensive touchdowns?
In scoring. Were they last?
In points,
I think they were second to last.
Year?
I think they were second to last.
They scored the 29th most points in the NFL.
So there were 3 teams worse.
Yes.
Wow. And the Giants won.
I think when you talk about offensive touchdowns, because remember, they scored on defense, they scored on special teams. I think their grand total of offensive touchdowns was like 7.
Yeah. It was ugly football.
Or 10, like 8. It was very low.
Breece and Garrett Lee.
The answer is 11, by the way. 11!
Wow.
Insane.
11! Anyhow,
number 1.
Yeah, Malik Nabers. Whatever.
Theo Johnson. No, it's Malik Nabers. And frankly, he might touch the ball than any other skill player in the NFL this year. That's how much they're going to force feed him. And he doesn't have Breece Hall, Garrett Wilson to split those touchdowns away.
Let me argue with you, and it's weird to argue on a prediction because you can make whatever insane prediction you want to make. So Tiggy just asked me a question. He said, hey, where were the Jets in points scored last year? Thinking maybe they were 32nd, which wasn't crazy. They were bad. They were 29th. Do you know where the Giants were last year?
28th?
They were 30th.
Uh-huh.
Okay. They were worse.
All right.
So they were worse.
They were one of the three teams that were worse.
Yeah. Yes.
Sure. Okay.
Aaron Rodgers is a Hall of Fame quarterback who, at least for now, is healthy.
No doubt.
And probably has a healthier track record than your starting quarterback.
I'm not arguing that.
So I don't know how you come up with neighbors other than just being a homer.
It's not being a homer.
Other than just saying, you know what? Screw it. Let's start our first football week of the year by pissing off Jet fans. Other than that, because
right.
Tiki, you tell me you're an IFO.
Mm-hmm.
I know you're a Giant legend. By the way, how about your number being handed out like, you know, nobody's business? You should be offended by that, but more on that in a few minutes.
I don't even know who has it, but
I'll take care of it for you.
What's Dory Jackson.
Dory Jackson. He had to take
that
number.
He's a defensive player. I don't care.
Interesting.
Oh, okay.
So you look at it. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Yeah, so you're a troll.
No. Hold on. Because this is actually, I swear to you, this is not being trollish. The Giants, first of all, are allowed to have a great player. I know it's been a long time.
Mm.
Second of all, Breece Hall and Garrett Wilson, listen to this, Evan and Jet fans, for everybody that Sean's a hater, hates the Jets, are not just good players, they are great players. And oftentimes, for the same argument I made for Bobby Witt winning the MVP when the Yankees have Soto and Judge, they will take in a little bit of each other's touchdowns in the red zone. The Giants are going to feed Malik Nabers an outrageous, obnoxious amount of times. Bubble screens, screens, deep passes, all of that. There is a chance of the Giants' touchdowns, wherever they rank, Malik Nabers has like 89% of
okay,
them.
Okay, let's play that game. Last year, the New York Giants as a team on offense scored 15 touchdowns.
Yeah.
More than the Jets. That's why scoring offense can sometimes be so misleading, because when you go with points per game, that includes points that your defense scored for you or your specials. So it is misleading. The Giants had 15 touchdowns last year. How much higher do you think that number is going to be?
I think double, at least.
So I can say that with the Jets for obvious reasons.
Can I tell you why I can say it?
Can you really say that?
I'm going to say it for a couple reasons.
Go ahead.
All right. First and foremost, I am damn excited for Brian Daboll to be calling the plays, because the little evidence we had, the games that he ripped Kafka from the play calling, the Cardinals second half, the Giants offense was infinitely better. And I think, which is amazing, after a decade plus of taking phone call after phone call on every damn show on this station, the Giants actually look like they have an adequate offensive line. And that is not going to kill drives. That's not going to be holding penalties galore. And I think they're going to score more points.
Okay, let me counter this. The Giants offense should be better. Okay, I will definitely concede that. The New York Jets should have not just a better offense, but Tiki, tell me if I'm talking out of school here. They should have one of the best offenses in the league.
Okay.
They should score as many touchdowns as anybody this year when you look at the improved offensive line. And oh yeah, when you look at the fact that they have a human being at quarterback who knows how to play the position.
That was a weird hiccup.
Because I'm like, I'm not angry, I'm just annoyed.
He's getting overexcited.
Yeah.
I'm setting the Malik Nabers touchdown number alone at 19 this year.
Wow. Oh, come on. slap him for
No, that. I don't think it's crazy.
That is excessive, but not impossible.
Not impossible.
It just feels excessive.
This will be the greatest rookie season we've seen in the NFL in New York since Odell's.
Okay, he's positive. He's positive, Sean, right now.
You know what's funny about this? The rivalry brewing between Lugie and Sean is how much each of them loves Malik Nabers. So watch this. You think he's going to score 19 touchdowns this year?
I do.
Watch this. Hey, Tommy.
Yeah.
How many touchdowns do you think Malik Nabers is going to score?
Well, you know, Malik Nabers, like Positive Tommy, is a generational talent. He will go down as the greatest wide receiver in the history of the Giants. He will score 25 combined touchdowns this year. He will throw a touchdown pass. He will have a return touchdown pass. Number one in our hearts, Malik Nabers.
I'm glad Sean went first because it allowed Lugie to increase the number. 25.
Rational Sean.
But to Sean's point, though, we're allowed to be excited about this because the Giants offense, no disrespect to Saquon or Daniel Jones or anything like that, have been stuck in the mud forever.
Yeah,
and we have an exciting new toy, and we're very excited about it.
There is a very big difference, because I don't want it to be perceived. You turn on the radio right now, boy, Evan hates the Giants. I don't hate the Giants. I actually think they're going to have a better year than most people think. I just think that is a bar that you are setting that is obscene. And it's kind of ridiculous to say that you think, essentially, he's going to get...
From the mind of a two-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's gone. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or draft pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
Get in the end zone more than the number one receiver on an offense that could be a top five offense in this league. Like, I guess crazy things can happen, but it's a very homerish opinion.
No, there's more to go around. I picked, by the way, three Jets in this top five. That's why.
Tiki, your thoughts.
Mm. So it's almost impossible to know either one of these answers.
Of course. No, well, that's why it's projecting.
It's projecting, and it's based off of, I don't know, what we historically have seen from Aaron Rodgers at other spots and what we hope we see from the Giants, because we haven't seen it consistently with the Giants. With that being said, the one thing you notice about rookie wide receivers is that they adjust really quickly. Right? We saw it with Garrett Wilson. I mean, Garrett Wilson was rookie of the year with not a great quarterback two years ago. And so we know that rookie wide receivers are coming into the league ready to play in the league. So that's one. It's not like, oh, I got to figure this guy out. Mm-hmm. Can he handle the speed of, you know that he can.
Yeah.
Now the question is, are they going to get him the ball enough in scoring position to score double-digit touchdowns? And my instinct is absolutely. And the reason I say that is because we've seen it with every other one of these great wide receivers from LSU. They just become contested throw catches.
I think the problem is who's getting them the ball.
Okay.
Go ahead.
Here's what I will tell you, Evan.
Yes.
The last time we had a healthy season for both Aaron Rodgers and Daniel Jones was the same year in 2022. Mm-hmm. How many more touchdowns through a 17-game sample size do you think Aaron Rodgers produced than Daniel Jones?
Not a lot. He didn't have a great year that year.
26 from Aaron Rodgers, 25 from Daniel Jones.
Well, you're
Jones.
Including Daniel's rushing touchdowns, right?
Well, you have to.
Well, not when you're talking about getting the ball to Malik Nabers, you don't. Your question was getting the ball to Malik Nabers.
But don't you think that those rushing touchdowns, when he stops sets and nobody's open, that could change to passing touchdowns?
Maybe. I mean, or they could turn into interceptions.
Well, and to Evans... In Evan's argument, to back his argument, a lot of those were called runs.
Yeah.
And that's fine. And they're part of it. And I think it's part of the
interesting. You can't just use that number and say, look at that number. Mm-hmm.
But Evan, I'm just saying you're using the number of how amazing the Jet offense. And again, I think they're going to score a lot of points could be. The last time we saw Aaron Rodgers at his healthiest, he produced 26 touchdowns.
Now, here's the other question. And this is prediction season, so it's a lot of fun. When we are sitting here in January, we just went through how the Jets were 29th in scoring. The Giants were 30th. Where do the Giants finish ranking-wise in scoring at the end of this upcoming season? Where would you put them?
I'm going to say 16th.
16th? Okay. You're with them on that?
Yeah. I mean, they have talent.
Yeah.
Right? And their offense should be better.
Their line should be a lot better if Andrew Thomas is healthy. Sure.
That's a big jump. From 29th to 30th to 16th.
More explosive plays this year.
Yeah. That's why
more sustained drives.
I would disagree. I would say that's right now.
By the way, they don't have to jump that far to be a winning team.
Not saying they do. It's merely just a question of where you think they'll finish.
I think they're around 20th.
I was going to say 23. That I think they'll improve. They'll be in the 20s. Now do that with the Jets. Where do you think they finish?
I think the Jets will finish about 14th.
See, that'd be a major problem.
Mm-hmm.
I'll tell you that right now. As good as this defense is, because I think they're better than that. Because I think they have a chance to have a top five offense. That's why.
Yeah, but you also got to believe how they're going to. You think about how they're going to play.
Well, they may not need to score that many points.
Yeah,
sure.
And their one of their best assets is a running back.
Mm-hmm.
Now you don't see this very often in the NFL. I know Christian McCaffrey's a great running back, and we like to lump him into these running back conversations. But he's such a hybrid. It's hard to use him as a, 340 carries between the tackles kind of player. I don't think Breece Hall is that either, but could he be? Yes. Could Christian McCaffrey? I don't think so. They tried to do that to him in Carolina, and he didn't last. The attrition wore on him. I think the Jets are set up to be a grinded team, and if they get leads, they don't have to keep adding
on. That is fair. That could bring their number down. By the way, you know the last time the Jets had a top 10 offense and point score?
No.
Brett Favre, 2008. Isn't that freaking unbelievable? And the time before that, I'm looking, you have to go all the way back to the 98 season where they had a top five offense. It's so rare for them to do that. But we disagree. Anyhow, that's Sean Cinco de Five O list. Now, don't leave yet, because I got a question. I'm a little annoyed about this. I want to get this off my chest. You are a Yankee fan.
Mm-hmm.
You are a Giant fan. You're the perfect guy to ask. I'm going to give you a Yankee. I'm going to give you a Giant. I'm going to name both guys, and you tell me who you think had a better career. Are you ready?
Okay.
Brett Gardner or Tiki Barber?
Tiki Barber.
It's like insulting I even asked the question, right?
Absolutely.
It's like a stupid question.
Very much.
You don't have to comment, Tiki. Mm-hmm. I don't want to put you in a spot where you're ripping Brett. But we'd all agree that's a dumb comparison.
Yes.
Yeah. I'm going to tell you why I brought it up. Can I tell you why I brought it up?
Okay. Yeah.
Anthony Volpe, nice kid. Who doesn't love Anthony Volpe, made a phone call before his rookie season. Do you guys know about this phone call?
I do not.
He called up Brett Gardner and asked permission to wear number 11. He wasn't calling the family of a deceased retired number saying, can I have that number? I don't even want to waste time on that. It's old news. But Anthony Volpe, out of respect, called up Brett Gardner and said, hey, just want to know if it's okay for me to wear number 11 when he doesn't need to call Brett Gardner. The number's available. Of course he can wear number 11.
Okay.
So here's my question. Did you get a phone call, Teak, this week?
Never. I didn't get a phone call the next year.
What
are you talking about?
That's disrespect.
I think baseball is such a game of respect and, I don't know, appreciation of what came before you. Whereas football is a, all right, we replaced you, let's go.
So it's a disrespectful
sport. It's not disrespectful, it's just next. Who's next?
Right. And there's also 53 numbers to hand out.
Yeah, it's just who's next. It's just a different situation.
So you're a class guy? This does not bother you, is what you're trying to tell me.
No.
Does not bother you that no one has placed a phone call and said, hey, Teak, you know, you may end up in the Hall of Fame someday.
No.
Do you mind?
It's just the number. Okay. I borrowed it for a decade.
Okay. Sean, does it bother you?
No, it bothered me more that Mason Crosby did it last year.
Really?
Yes. Yes. That bothered me more.
Plus, only because he wasn't good?
Yeah. Plus, Adoree Jackson, this is why it doesn't bother me. First of all, Anthony Volpe bows at the altar of Brett Gardner. He's one of these young Yankee fans before he's a Yankee. It doesn't know anybody.
And
Brett
that's
Gardner's
his personality,
overrated.
By
right,
the way.
Right, personality. Here's the deal.
I don't think the Yankees were like, you need to call Brett and ask him.
Of course. Adoree Jackson wore number 22 for the Giants the previous 3 years. He's actually being respectful to a rookie saying, Drew Phillips, you keep 22. And he's wearing 21 to honor, I think, a late college teammate. So I'm okay.
How many guys have worn 21 since Tiki left?
Well,
do you know the answer?
I think
four.
I know Dominique Rodgers-Cromartie did it in one of his number stints.
Okay.
Landon Collins did it.
Yep.
Mason Crosby did it. And I'm missing, I think, somebody who was a complete scrub in a cornerback room.
So every guy who's done it's been a defensive player.
Mm-hmm.
Would it bother you if a running back did it?
I mean, yeah.
There you go!
But it's not. There hasn't been a running back to wear my number.
No, but I'm curious
about. By the way, you realize it's almost been 20 years.
So?
I'm just telling you. I've not like retired 5 years ago.
But that doesn't make it
Brett
less.
Brett Gardner retired 3 years ago?
He kind of got forced out.
Whatever.
You were the opposite. You're like, I'm leaving. I'm retiring.
I've almost been retired for 20 years.
Right.
And an offensive player has not, other than Mason Crosby, has not worn my number.
But if an offensive player does wear your number, you're saying it would not bother you, but it would do something to you.
I don't know.
No, your first response was yes.
There were way more since Tiki retired, too, by the way.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Jabril Peppers did it.
Oh, that's right.
I forgot about it.
I remember Peppers.
I was wrong on scrub running back. I forgot Kenny Phillips wore it.
Now, again, every guy you mentioned is defensive players.
Except in 2022, there was a running back that wore it.
What?
And played three games.
Who?
Antonio Williams.
Really?
Yeah.
I don't remember that.
This is according to Pro Football Reference.
Wow.
I don't remember that.
Did register.
Now that's insulting.
See, that would bother you, right?
I don't even remember.
Fair enough.
Honestly, I don't think it would.
Let's go to John in Staten Island. What's up, John?
Hey, what's going on, boys? How are you today?
What's up, man?
What's up?
Good. I was listening before, and I was laughing when you guys were saying how embarrassing it would be to peddle a T-shirt outside of Citi Field or MSG. And it occurred to me that, you know, Evan, you had no problem peddling your nerd diary in the Red Borough, and you even got Tiki Barber to come out there to try to sell an extra 2 books.
That's right.
So I'd rather wear a Future T-shirt. I'm just saying, no disrespect.
Right. No, it's
enjoy
fine.
Your day.
No, but what's the point? If you told me I had to peddle my nerd, what did he call it, nerd diary?
Yeah, nerd diary.
If I was peddling my nerd diary outside of Citi Field in the
I'm a loser.
Lot, that would be very embarrassing. Mm. Like, maybe Logie should have thought of that. That would have been the retort of, okay, I will agree to
but
the T-shirt
thing. But that wouldn't have been bad.
It would have been. I wouldn't want to do that.
Why?
I admit it, because it's embarrassing.
It's embarrassing.
Yeah, I just wouldn't want to do it. But you know what? It's too late. We've already agreed on what happens with our NFL picks.
No, I think I've shown through this, through the Lugash debate series, that I'm a team player. And I'm doing this for the team.
Well, I'm not. It's not that I'm not a team player. No one.
Oh, I'm not insinuating
that.
You are. I'm
but
just Colin saying.
Brought up the idea, mocking me, and I'm like, yeah, I agree. That would be embarrassing.
If I countered with a different type of punishment, it would be like I'm not being a team player. Sean came up with a great idea. I got to be honest. If this was his tweet, his take, I would want to do this to mock him. So I got to be fair.
Well, and the other thing is the book I wrote. It's old news now. Like me hawking the book, like it wouldn't even make any sense.
Why is it old news?
It's been out for 8 months.
Father's Day's coming up again.
Father's not long.
I don't know. Like his T-shirt that we created of Tommy's bad opinion on Jalen Brunson, it's kind of hot and fresh. Jalen's a superstar. He's the king of New York. The shirt is new. He just signed his extension. Tommy's the new face of Knick fans. Like, doesn't it make more sense? It's more timely than me selling my book that came out 9 months ago, My Mets Bible, on sale now.
Plus, when the Knicks do damage, you know, they are the uncrowned champions, and win the championship through the power of friendship, the T-shirt will be even more funny or whatever. So it's going to...
Oh, you're talking yourself into it now.
Well, I'm going to get, publicity from it. So
see?
Like
he's convincing himself that having a really, really, really bad opinion on Jalen Brunson and it now being published on a T-shirt is a good thing for him and his career.
Real quick, though, it's a bad opinion now. At the time...
Oh, I thought it was a bad opinion then, too.
But you didn't know.
Like he wasn't a superstar player.
No
at the
one
time.
Said he was a superstar.
But he had a couple of like really good games. And so it felt like there was potential for stardom. Maybe not superstardom, but there was potential for stardom.
It wasn't even about superstardom to me. It was he was ragging on the Knicks signing Jalen Brunson as a typical Knicks move, and I thought that was based out of a lot of ignorance.
It wasn't a bad deal either.
That was my point. It wasn't a lot of money. It wasn't this awful contract. He was a good player. I'm not suggesting I thought he was going to be a superstar. I had no idea, but it wasn't a typical Knicks move, and that's why maybe that's because you were just so negative back then.
I would also say put your mind in my brain at the time, or Knicks fans, we were waiting for that superstar player. Donovan Mitchell was in the rumor mill at that time, and Jalen Brunson just didn't fit the bill of that.
All I know is as an IBO, I came on the radio and said, this is a good move. You guys are wrong thinking this is a typically bad Knick move. Now, I'm not lying to you and saying I thought he was going to be take over the city. I never suggested that, but I said, that's a good move. You just added the best point guard you've had in 25 years, and you did it at under market value when you look at the amount of money he was making. So, I don't know.
And I'm probably going to dig the hole a lot deeper here, but obviously the moves that came after Jalen has created what the Knicks are right now. So if it was just Jalen and they made a lot of bad moves, it might not look as good right now.
No,
so credit to all the other guys.
I disagree. I think it was mostly Jalen. I think Jalen became a superstar.
Yeah, he has.
He became the one that made it easier for all these other guys to get integrated in.
Yeah.
Josh Hart and Dante. It just felt like he made them all better. Or not made, but he helped them become who they are.
Let's go to Zach in Massapequa. What's up, Zach?
Hey, what's going on, guys? Love the show. I mean, that Cinco was nuts.
yes, it was.
Neighbors is going to outscore the entire Giants team. Okay. anyway, to my main point. So I want to do a quick shout-out to my father. It's his birthday tomorrow.
Hey, happy birthday. Dad,
happy birthday.
Nice.
You're the reason I listen to the fan, so thank you. And for plenty more. So to my Jets point, this question centered around a debate we had. Is Hassan Reddick being selfish in this spot, or are the Jets, you know, simply doing this to themselves for even getting involved in the situation to begin with? Because they knew about a potential holdout anyway.
Well, the Jets definitely knew about it. Now, I can't say that Hassan Reddick is being selfish, because the money has exploded in the NFL, and if you're a good player, you deserve to be paid like a good player. And Hassan Reddick didn't sign a deal, an extension with the Eagles, because they didn't want to pay him.
Mm.
Now, the reason that the Eagles didn't want to pay him is because the Eagles are trying to win right now, and they needed to go spend that money elsewhere.
Right.
I mean, two of their wide receivers are two of the top 11 paid wide receivers in the NFL.
They also signed Saquon. They also signed Bryce Huff.
And they signed Bryce Huff, even though it was a bargain deal relative to really good defensive ends. And they signed Saquon to the third highest running back contract in the NFL right now. And so they've spent a ton of money. They simply couldn't afford to pay Hassan Reddick. And so Hassan wanted out. And so they traded him to the Jets.
Mm-hmm.
Now, were the Jets aware of this? Of course they were. But the reason the Jets aren't signing Hassan Reddick is because he hasn't been around. Evan and I were talking about this in one of the breaks. I honestly believe if Hassan had just been around during the offseason, showing up, working out with his teammates, being a team player, maybe slow playing it. You know what I mean? Not like going, you know, balls to the wall, but slow playing it. But just being around so they knew him. So that his teammates knew him. So that his coaches knew him. So that the organization knew him. He'd have a much greater shot at getting a deal done before the season started.
Mm.
But the reality is, and we were told this when we were over there, nobody knows him. We asked multiple of those guys, including Solomon Thomas, do you miss him being here?
Right.
He essentially said, we saw him one day.
Yeah, they don't even talk to him.
That was it.
He's barely a member of the Jets.
They don't know who he is as a teammate yet, so it's hard to, I don't know, feel for him.
Well,
and so it's just a different situation. Now, again, I'm not blaming Hassan Reddick because he's a really good defensive end and players are getting paid, like ridiculously paid right now, and he deserves the money that he wants. The challenge is proving that you deserve it from this team.
Yeah.
And the Jets aren't moving on it.
I don't blame him. I don't think it's necessarily selfish to hold out and try to get a new contract. We see this in the NFL a lot.
It's happened 10 times this offseason.
Right. And now usually they get solved, like we're seeing in San Francisco with Trent Williams getting his contract, Brandon Ayuk. We'll see how it ends with Jamar Chase.
CeeDee Lamb was one.
CeeDee Lamb. I forgot about him, but he already got his contract. Mm-hmm. My issue with Reddick is I go back to that press conference that he had, and he gave you zero indication that this was a thing.
No, you're right.
And I think that's the thing that really bothers me. If he came in here and said, look, I'm going to be honest with you guys. I'd love to play for this team. Now, I'm excited to be here, but there's a reason out of falling out in Philly. They made a business decision I don't agree with.
Right.
I hope the Jets make the right business decision. And I think as a fan, I would probably be less annoyed because he came in and we played these clips a few weeks ago, actually when we were at Jet Camp, remembering back to his press conference, and he was all like, yeah, can't wait to play. Good to go. You guys aren't going to believe what you're going to see. Yeah, we can't believe it either, Hassan. We didn't know that was the reason. So my critique of him is that public comment makes me think he also blindsided the Jets.
Yeah.
That he probably told the Jets one thing, and now the actions are very different.
Right. And so his priority changed after he was a Jet. And that is getting this deal done before he does anything.
And now, and I remember asking this question 2 weeks ago, I ask it again, how does this end? Is he going to come back this week? I'll ask it that way. Is Hassan Reddick walking into the facility this week?
I think he has to. But that's a separate question of whether or not he gets a deal done.
I don't care if he gets a deal done. I want to know if he comes to camp, whether it's just because he realizes he needs to play or the Jets cave in by giving him bonus money or they give him a long-term contract, which I doubt.
Mm-hmm.
The question I have is he showing up? Or are we now going to have this holdout leak into the start of the NFL season?
It feels like it's going to leak into the start of the NFL season.
Oh, boy.
And that's bad for everybody.
It's bad for everybody. It's bad for us because that's what Sean predicted. I don't like that either. Well, you're not right yet. You just may be on your way to being right. Speaking of Sean, I'm curious to see how he reacts to this New York Yankee lineup that's been put together by Aaron Boone. It may cause some stress amongst Yankee fans. We'll go through it coming up next, plus more of your calls at 888-808-1019. Well, we look forward to some answers, too, coming up Thursday at 4:30. We do have our answer on our SNY Fan Choice poll, and I don't think anybody could be surprised. The question was, who will have more receiving yards this season, Garrett Wilson or Malik Nabers? Similar to something Sean was mentioning in his Cinco and who's going to get in the end zone more times this season. Garrett Wilson won the vote, got 69% of the vote. Malik Nabers, 31% of the vote. So a nice, clean victory for Garrett Wilson. I'm sure you agree with that, Teak?
Yeah, I mean, it's just he's more established. And he's got Aaron Rodgers as his quarterback.
Yes!
That's the bigger issue.
And look at his numbers the last 2 years with who throwing him the football. Think about who is getting Garrett Wilson the ball over the last 2 years. Mike White, Zach Wilson,
Mike White was not even in the lead. He didn't make the team.
That's right. Mike White. Well, he ended up signing on the practice squad of the Buffalo Bills.
Did he?
Yes.
I did not see that.
Yeah, when he got caught, Sean and I was even talking about it, like, boy, that would make sense for the Jets.
Yeah.
I would take him as a practice squad quarterback. Sean went extreme. He was basically like, make him the backup. Get rid of Drew Locke. Get rid of Tommy DeVito. Give me Mike Bleepin' White.
Yeah, it's hard. It's hard to do that with the money guaranteed to Drew Locke. That's the only issue with the signing of Drew Locke.
That's a big issue to me.
Yeah.
Because there's better options out there, or were better options.
Well, you're probably going to see him play at some point this year.
We'll see. Speaking of which, before you give that Yankee lineup, doesn't sound like Daniel Jones thinks he's going to play. Direct quote.
Say that one more time.
Doesn't sound like Daniel Jones thinks Drew Locke's going to play.
What would Daniel say?
There's a bit of a breaking quote that's come from the Giant locker room.
Go ahead. This was today?
This is today. 34 minutes ago, Tom Rock has posted this quote. I haven't seen anybody else have it yet. Not sure Daniel Jones spoke about playoffs even when he was in them, yet this is what he had to say today. Quote, we have high expectations of this team, and we certainly plan to play in the playoffs, plan to play in the postseason. We're going to get there by focusing on what we're doing right now.
He seems like a different guy, and I wonder if there's a reason why Daniel Jones is a different guy.
Why, is it the beard?
No, it's a link that was sent to me in the Evan and Tiki text chat over the weekend. That was very, very interesting. I forgot who sent this link, but we should share what that link said. It is just rumor and innuendo.
Yes,
but
neither confirm nor deny.
Can't confirm it or deny it, but Daniel Jones is speaking with a lot more confidence. And what did that link say, Tate?
That link said that Daniel Jones is dating one Kay Adam.
How about that?
That'll do it.
Every kiss begins with Kay.
So,
every kiss begins. You can't say that unless you sing it. Every kiss begins with Kay.
Again, the showman Tiki.
I want to hear Daniel Jones sing it. So it's possible that Daniel Jones is now talking. I know firsthand for myself that what was going on in my personal life would sometimes affect my confidence level and somehow affect how I feel.
In a good way or bad way?
In a good way. Sometimes a bad way. Yeah. I mean, it goes both ways, obviously. So if those rumors are true, and it is simply rumor and innuendo, maybe that is causing Daniel Jones to say in front of his locker room, hey, everybody, I'm going to the playoffs. And Drew Locke, just sit there in the corner, Drew. I got this.
Maybe she's the reason he grew a beard.
Daniel.
You need to be a badass.
Oh, you're turning me on.
Lift me up.
That's funny.
By the way, one quick football thing. We'll get back to your calls and we'll get to this Yankee lineup. Brian Costello has tweeted a picture of Hassan Reddick doing a charity appearance in Jersey City.
He is from New Jersey.
So that you shouldn't read into it other than Hassan's doing a charity event. That's nice.
Hassan went to, I didn't realize this until we were just talking about it. Where's he from? He went to high school in Haddon Heights, New Jersey.
So he's a Jersey guy.
So he's a Jersey guy. And I think he probably lives here in the offseason.
Okay.
And so,
there's nothing to draw out of it other than Hassan's a good dude and he's doing charity.
Yes.
By the way, the Fan Choice poll results, won by Garrett Wilson, was sponsored by Dunkin', the official coffee of Evan and Tiki. Now let's get to this Yankee lineup. The Yankees are getting set to play another big game against the team they should beat, which is what they've struggled with over the last few weeks. When you look at their kind of average success against a lot of bad teams, the Texas Rangers are the defending world champions, but they're going to miss the playoffs, which is kind of rare for defending world champions in baseball. I think the last time that happened was the Red Sox, I think in 2018. After they won the World Series, they didn't make it in 2019. I think every other defending champion has at least made the postseason. The Yankee lineup is brought to you by Jersey Mike's, the official sub sandwich shop of the New York Yankees, and by Casamigos Tequila, brought to you by those who drink it. Let's see if it meets the quality of Yankee fan Sean Morash. You ready?
Let's go.
Gleyber Torres leading off at second base.
Red hot, baby. Give me Gleyber.
Gotta love Gleyber. Gleyber's been amazing. Juan Soto batting second and right.
Lifetime same. Yankee. Let's go.
Ditto.
Aaron Judge batting third and center.
Bum.
He's slumping. Giancarlo Stanton cleaning up at DH.
All right.
Okay. Batting fifth, Jazz Chisholm.
Let me hear it.
Wow. Sliding Wells in the order.
Yeah. Well, batting sixth, Anthony Volpe.
Wow. Really sliding Wells in the order.
Batting seventh, Jose Trevino.
Oh, wow. Wells is not in the order.
That is correct. Batting eighth, Alex Verdugo. And batting ninth, DJ LeMahieu. So no Anthony Rizzo, who's looked good upon his return. And no Austin Wells, who has started, I think, five consecutive games. Your thoughts, Sean?
All right.
Give him a break, dude.
I'm going to give Austin Wells this much of a
I was going to say, don't get upset about that one.
He got hit by a pitch yesterday. It looked ugly. They are facing a lefty. He probably would have sat today facing a lefty, but we'll give the wink-wink. He got hit by a pitch. My issue, if you're going to get DJ LeMahieu time, if you're going to shove him down your throat because Rizzo can't play every day, this goes back to the problem with Boone the last couple years, the double dip. If tonight is a night that Austin Wells cannot play, wait a night, to play DJ LeMahieu, because instead, now you're creating two spots in the bottom of the order where I feel like that's automatic outs.
You're saying split the off days?
That's split the off days. I hate doubling up the bad bats in the off days. I'm sorry. If you got to do this with Wells tonight, Anthony Rizzo could play one more night before going back to LeMahieu tomorrow night, but I know you're going to play the lefty game and all of that. But your lefty lineup, every time you try out there, stinks.
No, I know. I think it's... See, we've entered this part of the year that's very complicated because I would normally look at this lineup and say, come on. And Anthony Rizzo just came off the IL. Give him time. He's going to get an off day. Austin Wells is a catcher. He's not going to play every single day. And I would understand it. And I would say, well, it makes sense. But I also think that you're in September. And I made this point at the top of the show. Maybe Yankee fans agree with me. You could rewind on the Odyssey app. I think it's really important to win the American League East. I don't think it's a minor thing. I don't look at it as, just make the playoffs, get hot at the right time, who cares? There's reasons to me why winning this division are really, really important. And so these games matter. And I would want to put my best lineup out there. I also know that the Yankees have an off day on Thursday.
Yeah.
So you have an off day coming up. Can you maximize by putting your best players out there?
Yeah, but I think so much of these decisions going back really for the last month or two seem to be based on who's more likely to hit a lefty. That's what it feels like.
I don't think these are decisions, though, today, in my opinion, are about the lefty as much as it is about, I know I've got to give them an off day. Would I rather them sit today against the lefty or tomorrow against Eovaldi?
Yeah,
that's how I kind of view
it. But again, so many of his decisions, Boone's decisions, feel like it's analytics. It's not who's the hot hand, who needs the rest, who's got too much wear right now, and maybe we'll game an off day, get one here, and then get one again on Thursday. It feels like... All right, we got a lefty on the mound. All right, first base. All right, we got Rizzo's a lefty or DJ, who's a righty? Yeah, let's go with the righty.
Don't you think in Rizzo's case, it's just because he just came off the IL?
No, not at all.
You think they're going to sit him against lefties?
Why else would he be sitting?
Because he just came off the IL.
And why else would they not have DFA'd DJ LeMahieu? Because they want to play him versus lefties, even though he's on him versus lefties.
I'm just telling you, this feels less like you're tired. You sat for 3 months, dude. You had a rehab assignment. You should be feeling fresh and ready.
Yeah, but
guys
sit when they come back off the IL. They don't play every single game.
Okay. He's played two games, and he's got three hits in two games.
But Tiki, if the Yankees make the playoffs, they are going to make the playoffs. Spoiler alert, if. Don't you think if Anthony Rizzo is performing at a decent level, he is the every single freaking day first baseman come playoff time, and he's not sitting ever for DJ LeMahieu?
Yes, I would
so
think
then,
so.
It's not about lefties. It's literally about he just came off the IL. We got to give him a day. And I wrestle with that because I understand the frustration. Every game matters, but he just came off the injured list.
Okay.
You're not going to send him out every single day.
So what was he doing for the last month? Just kind of sitting on the couch?
But you know.
I know exactly what you're trying to say. I'm just not agreeing with you.
I'm not trying to convince you.
I don't think you come back and play two games. Get three hits, by the way. One of them was a blowout loss, so you don't think about it. But yesterday was fine.
He's played well since he's come back.
He's played very well since he's come back. And now you're going to give him an off day simply because he needs an off day? I don't think that's what's happening. To me, it feels like the Yankees consistently have played the matchup game because they've been so abysmal against lefties.
So they're
trying to find every advantage, even though, and that's just via lineup construction, even though it doesn't necessarily help.
I think you're picking the off day. Like, I'll give you a little example. So if Aaron Boone made the decision, look, I can't play Rizzo four straight games.
Mm-hmm.
I'm trying to do the math on when he came back because everything runs together.
He came back on the second. Today's the third.
If Boone is saying, look, I can't play him four straight games. I just don't want to do it. Now, you can argue about it. He's made that decision. You're going to sit him against Andrew Haney as opposed to Nate Eovaldi when Anthony Rizzo's got great career, like ridiculous career numbers against Nate Eovaldi. So your tiebreaker is that he's a lefty. Your tiebreaker is his matchup numbers against Eovaldi. Mm-hmm. But you've made a decision. The guy just came off the IL. We're not literally going to play him every single day. But the good news is this. When the Yankees are in the playoffs, Anthony Rizzo is going to play against everybody. This is not a platoon. Do you agree with that, Sean?
I'm not so sure I agree with it
yet. Come on.
No, I like to hope I believe in it.
But Ben Rice is different than Anthony Rizzo.
Right. I want to hear what you're saying, and I think Sean's is exactly as I am. I want to hear what you're saying and say, of course, dude. Absolutely. But I don't trust that's going to be the case.
Because they're not even playing the best option. Dude, Oswaldo Cabrera could grab a first base glove and play tonight. and he has better numbers versus lefties this year than DJ LeMahieu.
Well, DJ LeMahieu, briefly, much like Alex Verdugo, has been hitting better over the last couple of games.
Oh, versus right. lefties?
I'd have to break down.
Go to his lefty breakdown numbers. They're terrible.
They, of course they are. I'm saying recently he's been hitting better. That's all I'm saying.
The point is this team keeps coming back to DJ LeMahieu is a highly paid veteran that they love in that locker room. They are trying to will and give him every
they
last
trust
chance.
Trust him because he's a veteran.
Right.
It's the same reason that the Martian is down in the minors and Verdugo is up here.
And it would not stun me in the least. I would be upset about it if they decided versus a lefty and pick your poison on a playoff series.
No way.
I'm going my gut here.
I'm going to tell you why you're dead wrong about this. And look, I guess we'll find out, assuming everybody's healthy. There, you mentioned veterans. You mentioned trusting veterans. Oh, I'm going to agree with you on that. The veteran they're going to trust is Anthony Rizzo. The guy who's won a World Series. The guy who's done it before. And I admit this. I know it's only two games. So I don't want to get too nuts. Anthony Rizzo, in a brief amount of time, has reminded you of the guy they traded for. He's looked better defensively.
Of course.
He's hit. He's the first baseman.
I understand
period.
This.
Stop. There's no platoon with DJ LeMahieu. This is literally, guy just came off the IL.
But why
he hasn't
does he
played
need,
a
why
lot. Does, because but, it's they're baseball players, T. I wish I had an answer in which I agreed with it because I understand the frustration. Like
is,
the Mets are in a better race, too. I want my best players playing every single day. But they don't do it either. J.D. Martinez gets a day here and there. Starling Marte gets a day here and there.
I just can't explain it because Sean's right. I'm just looking at his stats, meaning LeMahieu's stats against lefties. It's hard. It's abysmal.
It's about sitting Rizzo. It's about the fact that he just came off the injury.
But so
what Sean's point is, there are better options than Rizzo, than LeMahieu against lefties.
I know what I'm about to say is going to walk into Sean screaming something. And that is, if DJ's not playing this game against the lefty, when you're sitting Anthony Rizzo, why is he even on the roster? So go ahead. You can just get it out of the system.
DJ F.A. LeMahieu. That is his new name. I agree with you, Evan. He shouldn't even be here. And him being here is like, frankly, having ice cream in the freezer for me. There's only so many times I can walk by before I open the freezer and I use it.
I think
they love using DJ.
There comes a time, and it's so funny, Teak. We had this discussion. I remember this. I don't know why certain things jump out at me. Early on in our show a year ago. Well, we had a very passionate discussion about Aaron Judge. And Sean and I were on the other side of you.
Yeah.
And basically the other side of this argument, where I said, hey, the Yankees need to win every game. Why is Aaron Judge sitting? And you're like, Ev, just came off the injured list. they got to be careful. And I'm like, they don't have time. Okay. They got to go.
But his was that was different.
Why is that different?
Because he was playing with a foot injury that is likely to bother him for the rest of his life.
Mm-hmm.
And so, I freaking forget what Rizzo's issue was.
Well, Anthony Rizzo injured his,
he fractured his forearm.
His arm. I'm like rubbing it.
He broke his arm.
Yep.
Right. So, I mean, it's different than a foot, but the reason I felt Aaron Judge, because he's 265 pounds. And he's running around on a jacked up toe.
But there was also more urgency last year. By the way, let me just say this real quick. Stay tuned for Baseball Night in New York, presented by Tri-State Cadillac. It's coming up next on SNY. Go ahead, I'm sorry.
Thank you. They were trending towards nothing.
Right, that's why it was even more important to run your guys out there every day. The Yankees.
No.
Yes!
The season was lost.
But you're trying to save the season. The Yankees right now, and this is the juxtaposition they're in. They are a lock to make the playoffs. No one is debating they're missing the playoffs. It is strictly how important is the American League East? Do you want the American League
East? And the number one seed home field.
Yes. I happen to think it's a big deal. I happen to say, you know what? It's a pennant race. I believe it matters. I went through this at the top of the show. I'll mention it briefly again. The Yankees have not had success when they haven't had home field advantage in the Aaron Judge era. They've lost 6 of 8 series in which they haven't had home field advantage. They've won every series when they've had home field advantage. The numbers are the numbers. The Yankees have not gone into a postseason in the Aaron Judge era in which they're the number one seed. I want the number one seed. That's my attitude.
Yep.
So I put an urgency on a night like tonight saying, hey, I want my best players out there. But they're trying to balance, hey, Anthony Rizzo just came off the IL. The Austin Wells thing is a little different.
And there's an Austin Wells update.
Yes.
This is from Chris Kirshner. Good news, bad news. Austin Wells is sore today. He got testing. X-rays negative. However, may need a few days off, but that's to be determined. If he needs a few days off, can't help that's an injury. DJ LeMahieu better not see the field again during another Austin Wells day off because you can't keep putting out lineups with automatic outs. And that's exactly what Trevino and LeMahieu are.
Well, look, they have a game on Wednesday. They're off on Thursday. And you know why they're off on Thursday? Because New York baseball respected the fact that we all want to watch football. And I appreciate that.
They off Friday, too?
No. The Eagle game on Friday doesn't count. Though the Yankees are playing a day game, so I guess you're right.
I feel bad for them, though.
What, that they have to go to Brazil?
Yeah. Yeah.
That's the NFL being just selfish pigs. Let's
I think they realize it, too.
The NFL realizes their own selfish pigness?
Nobody's talking positively about this.
Well, it's not a great place to be.
No. Even the players are like, oh, yeah, I thought we were going to go out till we got our security briefing. Yeah. I think I'm going to stay in my room.
They told you, hide in the hotel. That was their security briefing. Welcome to Brazil. Yeah. Don't leave.
Don't worry. Nobody will notice you. 6'5", 250-pound strapping man with gold chains and playing an Audemars Piguet on your wrist. Nobody's going to notice you or try to rob you. You'll be fine.
Yeah.
Go have dinner at the local establishment right around the corner. Yeah. You'll be good.
NFL understands that they schedule a game next year in Venezuela.
Right. Hey, by the way, don't bring your family.
Right. That's coming.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one. Portrait pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Norse Sides and Bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Nor Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit nor.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.